run by you kind of quick. You sort of have to listen to the words. Well, it was in the land of Palestine, or so the story state. Young Samson met all comers and beat any man his weight. He swung a mean and a wicked right and never missed a chance to fight. Although at Gaza one dark night, they say he got the gates. Now Delilah was the loveliest of all the local tramps, and on young Samson's form she cast her large alluring lamps. I love a manly man, she'd say, her line was clever for her day, till Samson fell the same old way as many other champs. Now don't think that I am inquisitive, she said, you've got me wrong. But tell your own Delilah, Sam, what makes you big and strong? Said he, my strength is in my hair, I've never seen that barber's chair, and a man can lick me while I wear my hair and sideburns long. So late that night, Delilah did a most artistic job. I really hate to trim this guy, she murmured with a sob. She started with an oil shampoo and clipped his beard and his mustache too, and his curly locks she gave a new and fashionable bob. Next morning, Sam awoke and found he'd scarcely strength to rise. That dame has pulled a dirty trick, he said in some surprise. I'm off these Oriental queens, and I must cut out these bedroom scenes. Just then and dashed the Philistines and burned out both his eyes. Then they dragged him to their temple where they bound him fast in chains, and all the local boys dropped in and all the local janes. Why don't you curl your hair a bit, they said, and put a wave in it. Those natives had a facetious wit and somewhat shy on brains. Well, then Samson grabbed the pillars of the temple on each side, and with a mighty shove he sent the columns flying wide. Well, the roof come tumbling on his head, and the Philistines were all knocked dead. Well, that brought down the house, he said, and turned around and died. All right. As long as I've been coming here, I think this has been one of my favorite songs and one that I'd like to share with you. Right now, this song started out as a poem that was scratched on a piece of paper that was found in a soldier's pocket and killed on the Union side in the Civil War. But it's ironic the way things work out. It was set to music and has become one of our best-loved Southern folk songs. It tells of a pledge taken between two little boys who later redeemed their pledge on the field of honor. In the Civil War. Boys had two little toys, each had a wooden horse. Gaily they'd play each summer's day, warriors bold, of course. One little chap had a mishap, broke off his horse's head, and he wept for his toy, then cried for joy when he heard his brother say, "Do you think I could leave you crying when there's room on my horse for you? So climb up here, Jack, and stop your crying. We'll mend your horse with glue. When we grow up, we'll both be soldiers. Our horses will not be toys. And then perhaps we'll remember when we were just two little boys." Long years had passed and war came at last. Bravely they marched away, where the cannon roared loud in that wild crowd where wounded and dying Joe lay. Then came a cry, a rider dashed by out of the ranks of the blue, and he galloped away to where Joe lay, and he heard his brother say, "Do you think I could leave you dying when there's room on my horse for you? So climb up here, Joe, and we'll soon be flying back to the boys in the blue. Can't you see, Jack, I'm all a-tremble? It may be the flash and the noise, or it may be because I remember when we were just two little boys."
Thank you.
White trash. I'd like to play a little dog song for all you dog lovers. You notice the way I said that word? I said dog. How do you spell it? D-A-W-G. Dog. I am flat talking about man's best friend. Lovable, loyal, and lop-eared. Bring your brandy when you're marooned in an Alaskan snowdrift. Follow you over the desert sands till he bloodies his faithful little feet. Lay his grizzled snoot on your knee and look up at you with those big limpid brown eyes and say, "I love you, I'm a dog." And then there are dogs. D-O-G-S. Yip yaps. Weigh about a pound and a half apiece. Canine closet queens. Yep, yep. Bejeweled, beribboned, befurred, powdered, pomaded, painted toenails and rhinestone collars. Designed by God and nature to be trolled in the wake of a slow-moving boat in search of large trash fish such as hammerhead shark. Yip, yap! And I'm talking about a dog. Well, me and Lim and old Bill Brown took a load of corn to town. Old Jim Dog and Ornery Cuss, he just naturally followed us. We drove out past Johnson's store. A passel of yaps come out of the door, and Jimmy scooted behind a box. All them fellas are chunking rocks. Look out, Jim. Well, me and Lem and old Bill Brown took no time in getting down. We wiped them fellas on the ground for kicking that old Jim Dog around. Old Jim Dog, yes, yes. Don't let them do that to you, son. All right. Well, every time I come to town, a boy's kicking my dog around. It makes no difference if he is a hound. They gotta quit kicking that dog around. Now, I went to see my friend Agamemnon Abramovitz. I said, Agamemnon, I got a little .22 rifle I want to trade off. You got anything you want to trade? He said, yeah. You want a dog? I said, buddy, I need a dog in the worst kind of way. But I wonder, before we finalize this transaction, would you mind leading the animal in question out into the yard, please? Now, I don't know that much about trading for horses, dogs, and stock, but a man told me one time, if you want to find out the truth about the merchandise, you get the other man and lead the animal out in the yard before you give him anything. Well, sir, he got a piece of rope, tied it to the dog's collar, headed for the door, and the dog followed along, a model of canine obedience. Ran head first in the door jamb. He backed him up and had another shot at it. The dog ran slap into the door jamb, slew down the steps, ricocheted off the chopping block, skidded over the yard, and fetched slap up against the smokehouse, feet up in the air. I said, buddy, you trying to trade me off a dog that is stone blind? He said, gamble, this dog ain't blind. She just don't give a damn. Well, by now, you notice all these dog songs pretty much have the same tune. No matter how you play it. That's because they're all about the same thing. Lovable, loyal, lop-eared dog. Now here's one about the boss dog of them all, and of course he was a hound dog. I don't know whether he was a blue tick, a red bone, a basset, a beagle, a black and tan, but I know he was a good one. And on these cold autumn nights when that big harvest moon nuzzles the purple hills and the stars flicker so close to the ground, they're like lightning bugs frozen in crystal. And you can hear those dogs way off behind some acorn ridge just bugling. Oh, there's a sound that thrills my heart. I wonder what in the world they're on to out there. And I wish I was running with them. Shoulder my axe and blowed my horn. Gonna get me a possum and a new mowed corn. I cook it possum good and brown, lay sweet taters all around. Here blue. Good dog, you, I'm coming to. Old blue tree to run to sea, and there set a possum and a cinnamon tree. Possum grinned at me, and I looked at him, and I shook him out, and blue took him in. Get him some, get him now, you good dog, you. Old Blue died, laid him in the shade, and I dug his grave with a silver spade, let him down with a golden chain, and a link-blink slipped through my hand. Here, Blue, good dog, you, I'm coming to. Here, Blue, get a up on the wagon, son, and let's go home. When I was a lad and old Shep was a pup, over hill and meadow we'd roam. Just a boy and his dog, we were both full of fun. We grew up together that way. I remember the time at the old swimming hole when I would have drowned beyond doubt. Shep was right there, to the rescue he came. He jumped in and helped pull me out.
Strings against the mic.
The years fast had rolled. At last he grew old. His eyesight was fast growing dim. One day the doctor looked at me and said, "We can't do no more for him, Jim." With a hand that was trembling, I drew down my gun, aimed it at Shep's faithful head. But I just couldn't do it. Lord, I wanted to run. I wished that they'd shoot me instead. I went to his side, Lord, I sat on the ground. He laid his old head on my knee. And I stroked the best pal that a boy ever knew. And I cried so I scared they could see. Oh, Shep, he knew he was going to go. He reached out and licked at my hand. And he looked up at me just as much as to say, "We're parting, but I understand." Now old Shep is gone where the good doggies go, and no more with old Shep will I roam.
If you go in the tower, see how those workshops are over there.
But if dogs have a heaven, Lord, there's one thing I know. Old Shep has a beautiful home. Thank you so much. Well, I've just had a lot of requests for this, and as long as you folks keep requesting it, I'll keep doing it. This is a personal story based on an eyewitness account, and I find that it falls right into the mainline tradition of stories about outhouses. It's just kind of updated. So with that introduction, I'd like to say that it is often my privilege as a 20th century troubadour to visit abroad over the width and the breadth of this grand and glorious, this bountiful, beautiful, I'm so proud to say, no longer bicentennial, land of ours. It is often my privilege to visit north of the Mason-Dixon line, where I'm proud to say I'm always well received by my Yankee brethren. Well, every now and then some slack-jawed bimbo will come up and say, "Bub, you're from down there, ain't you?" I say, "You better believe it, baby." He say, "Bub, tell me now, have you got anything to do down there for laughs?" We got loads to do for laughs where I come from. I was brought up in Nacoochie Valley, Georgia. Once a year, the whole community would turn out to watch the police department paint the white line down the center of the road. It's pretty heavy. It was a dirt road. We had a hard freeze in Habersham County one time. Yes, indeed. A few other big things happened. But by far the most exciting event I've ever witnessed as a Southerner in the great Southland was when I witnessed with my very own eyes a phenomenon of modern times, the honey dipper. Possibly this bears a modicum of explanation. You will see them glistening in plasticine enfilade, little truncated obelisks, each with a pyramidal roof, each with a private door, a door unrelieved by even so much as the traditional half-moon motif. A door upon which is emblazoned instead a racy commercial vulgarism such as "Johnny on the spot, the only way to go." And these, ladies and gentlemen, are the portalettes of America, scourge of the rock and roll celebration, truly a symbol of life and living in the age of enlightenment. Now, most of you are no doubt thinking, just as I did, that when the portalette contractor wins the bid and places the portalette on the construction job site, that his work is done. But no. This is just when his job begins. And this is where the honey dipper comes into play. Behold the honey dipper, a monstrous flatbed truck upon which is placed a crane with a 100-foot boom, a crane actuated by an abject drunkard, a man with the cerebral propensity of a lobotomized angleworm, a man who is a retired kamikaze pilot for the Confederate Crop Dusters Association. And when the honey dipper would plow forth through the streets of our village, all the good old boys and the good old girls come bounding out of doors, load up on that cheap booze and set up, thring the things in their beach buggies, and go coursing out in the streets in the wake of the honey dipper, cheering the operator on to newer and greater exploits of aerial derring do. On this day of days, the honey dipper pulled up before a 17-story condominium with a portalette glistening grail-like at every station. The crane operator had a prefatory draft of booze, placed the bottle down with solemnity, and expertly wafted the primary portalette down to the bed of the honey dipper, where it was summarily refreshed and returned to its prior situation. The second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, it was a ho-hum, hum-drum affair. The crowd below was becoming restless. They had not been given that for which their hearts and souls cried out. Fulfillment, excitement, boogie fever. Show business. They were fulfilled at the 10th station. The crane operator, totally inebriated, his brain riddled with alcoholic fulminations reminding him of his days as a great stunt pilot, flung the 10th portalette down in a majestic loop-the-loop. The crowd was up, a cheering animal satisfied. He flung the 17th portalette down in the most dazzling array of aerial arabesques ever witnessed in South Florida. Lazy eights, loop the loops, barrel house rolls, a hammerhead stall, a perfect one-point landing, and at precisely the moment of impact, the door to the ultimate portalette was seen to come ajar, and a chalk-faced construction worker in a hard hat with a Playboy magazine over his knees fell out in a dead faint. I get downright tired of people asking me if we got anything to do down home for laughs. We go watch the Honey Dipper. Thank you very much. We've really enjoyed it this afternoon.
Well, you'll have to wait till Monday because he's going to catch a plane up to Virginia where he'll be concertizing for his alma mater, the University of Virginia. Let's give him a hand for that. Well, it's hard to top him, isn't it? But we have more and more. One of our favorites who's moved way down to Fort Myers is Michael Moore. Michael now lives on a boat, teaches at Immokalee High School, and has set up a festival down there, a festival that features regional foods, Seminole Indian crafts, Mexican dances, folk music, and so forth. Bravo. Welcome home, Michael.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, cousin.
Bless you.
I help on that festival. Actually, many, many people are involved in the thing. It's sponsored by the Chamber of Commerce, and I would like to encourage anyone who is in the area to come down and see that festival. It's rather unique. I'd like to do a ballad now. It's a train song.
Well, when we reached the inland, the engineer was there. George Allen was his name, with pretty golden hair. His fireman, Jack Dixon, was standing by one side, waiting for strict orders and in the cab to ride. Along came the FFB, the swiftest on the line, running into inland, about 20 minutes behind. Running into inland, headquarters of the line, waiting for strict orders from the station just behind. George's mother came to him, a basket on her arm, saying, "Oh, my darling son, be careful how you make the run. Many a man has lost his life trying to make up for lost time. And if you'll pull your engine right, you'll get there just on time. Mother, I know your advice is good, but later I'll take heed. And I know my engine's in good shape, and I know that she will speed. Down the track I mean to go, the speed of a cannonball. And when I blow at the stockyard gate, you'll surely hear my call." And he told his fireman Jack, he said, "A little extra steam, and I'm gonna pull number four faster than you've ever seen. Down the track and I mean to go, the speed of a cannonball. When I blow at the Big Bend Tunnel, you'll surely hear my call." And then he told his fireman Jack, he said, "A rock ahead I see, and I know that death is waiting there to grab both you and me. So So from this cab you'd better jump your daring life to save. I want you to be an engineer when I'm sleeping in my grave. Oh no, said Jack, that will not do. I want to die with you. Oh no, said George, never do. I'll die for me and you. So from the cab poor Jack did jump. The railroad it was high. And as he waved his hand at George, number four flew by. Up the road it darted, and against the rock it crashed. Upside down the engine turned, George's breast was smashed. His head was lying in the firebox door, and the flames went rolling on. George Allen was the engineer, but now he's dead and gone. His mother came to him, crying, son, what have you done? Too late, mother, too late, my doom in hell I've run. But if I had a local train, the truth to you I'd tell. I'd run her into Cliftonport, or run her into hell. And the doctor came to him, saying, daring boy, lie still. Your life may yet be saved, if it be his precious will. Oh no, said George, I want to die. I want to die so free. And I want to die as the engineer on 143. That's a long song, I know. Well, ride in closer on your pony, and I'll tell to you my tale of my partner, Utah Carroll, and his last ride on the trail. We were rounding up the cattle down in Mexico's fair land, where the cattle roam by thousands in many a name, many a brand. We were rounding up one morning, and our work was almost done, when the cattle all got frightened and broke in a wildish run. Now the foreman's little daughter, she was standing by one side, darted out to head the cattle, and that's where my partner died. He had rode in close beside her, and he took her in his arms, and he felt they were successful and were free from future harm. But the weight upon the saddle that was never known before, yes, the weight upon the pony bore them down beneath the horn. And his pistol flashed like lightning, the report rang loud and clear, yes, his pistol flashed like lightning as he shot the raging steer. Then we went to hear his funeral, and we heard that preacher say that my partner, Utah Carroll, would be saved on that great day. There's a grave without a headstone. Neither has it date or name. And that's where my partner's sleeping. And from there is where I came.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'll do one more song. As long as I've done one about a railroad and one about a cowboy, I thought I'd do one about a coal miner. Come out of this thing, Mr. G. This is called The Miner's Child. A miner was sleeping in his home one night. He heard his little girl scream. And going to the side of that little girl's bed, "Daddy, I've had such a dream. Oh, Daddy, don't work in the mines today. Dreams have so often come true. Oh, Daddy, dear Daddy, please don't go away. I never could live without you. I dreamed that the mine was all heaving in fire. Brave men begged for their lives. And the scene then it changed. The mouth of the mine is covered with sweethearts and wives. Oh, Daddy, don't work in the mines today. Dreams have so often come true. Oh, Daddy, dear Daddy, please don't go away. I never could live without you. Go down to the valley, tell all your friends, sure as the stars above shine, that something is going to happen today. Dear Daddy, don't work in the mine." Thank you all very much.
That was Michael Moore. Let's give him another hand.